Good morning, Maranatha. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable. It is time for Sunday Morning Alive right here on our website. Thank you for joining us today as we gather around the Word of God. I pray that this broadcast today, this webcast, this podcast, however you're receiving the Word, that it will fall into a good ground heart. Because if it does, the Scripture says, it will bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Hallelujah. So I get excited when we're going to bring God's Word to people who will receive it today. We'll give heed to it and apply it to their life. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're here for a purpose. I don't believe in accidents, particularly in that respect. I believe in divine appointments. I believe God wants to speak to you as He speaks to us who know Him through His Word today. Amen. So please stay tuned as our special guest today to learn something more about the God that we serve and the God who wants to save your soul. Amen. He gave His Son for us. He gave His Son for you today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to one of my favorite portions of Scripture here in Psalm 34, 15 through 19. Psalm 34, 15 through 19. On the subject, this sermon today. Amen. Pray because God is listening. This is an incentive to pray. I don't know what your prayer life is like. I know that there is room in most people's life for more time to be spent in prayer. And that's why there are so many scriptures to substantiate the statement that I'm making to you as a sermon title today. And an incentive to pray today, to pray without ceasing, that is to never give up on the privilege and power of prayer. Never neglect the privilege and power of prayer. If you have prayed and you haven't received an answer, that doesn't mean that God didn't hear you the first time you prayed. It means it's time for you to persevere in prayer, not praying as if He hasn't heard you because He did hear you, but pray because God is listening. In His wisdom, in His way, in His timing, that prayer will be answered. So this is an important message today because the enemy, I like what one person said about the devil. He said the devil trembles when he sees the weakest Christian on their knees, or the weakest Christian in the natural, tapping into that supernatural power through the privilege of prayer. Amen. So let's get into the Word today, and let's get the Word in us today. If you have your Bible, Psalm 34, 15 through 19, on the subject, once again, pray because God is listening. It says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry." You see, being a person of faith today who has trusted Christ as your Savior and been reconciled unto God not brings you into a right standing with God. You know, in the old covenant, prayers were not being answered by the covenant people who had every right to believe and receive from God, receive the help they needed when they cried unto Him. And He told them exactly why their prayers were not being answered in that situation and that time and circumstance. He said, "My hand is not short that it cannot save, and My ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. But your sins have separated between you and your God." That's why I'm so into repentance, because it brings restoration of that vital fellowship relationship with God, to where when we cry unto Him, He promises to hear and to answer our prayers. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. This is not being sinlessly perfect. It's being perfectly right with God in a way in the new covenant that no one could ever be until Jesus went to the cross. And that is made righteous through the gift of righteousness because of the gift of God's Son to take our place upon the cross. There's positional righteousness immediately granted and practical and personal righteousness as we have a heart to obey Him and do not live in rebellion against Him. Unconfessed sin is a barrier to answered prayer. That's why in the pattern prayer, commonly called the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," beginning to petition God, use our faith because we have positional righteousness and paternal relationship. No. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Listen, friend of mine, this idea of living our life in sin and using our faith to circumvent the fact that that sin is a separator between us and our God. God wants us to do away with that. If we say we have no sin, it says we're lying. We're not truthful. We're not honest about it. But if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanse us from iniquity, making us once again right with Him in fellowship. We're right with Him in relationship. We've become His sons and daughters. But we need to be right with Him in fellowship. Amen. Listen to it carefully. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. There's actually a scripture in the Old Covenant that said the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward Him. People who are right with Him, you see, and people who are believing Him for that, for an answer, for an intervention. Hallelujah. Praise God in their circumstance. Friend of mine, the devil will do everything to keep us from praying and believing God for answers because he knows the power of that. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. But he prayed that God would shut up the heavens, and God shut them. He prayed that God would open them 3 years later, and God opened the heavens. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. One translation says, is powerful and mighty in its working. No wonder the devil trembles when he sees the weakest Christian in prayer. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. Pray, therefore, because God is listening. But listen to verse 16, verifying this need for being right with God. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. But listen to verse 17, the change in attitude from God to us. The righteous cry, the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh to them that are of a broken heart and saveth such that be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. The Hebrew word here for cry unto the Lord is sav'ah, which is translated simply a cry for help. It is the constant practice, therefore, of real believers when in distress to cry unto the Lord. And it is their constant comfort. He says, when you do that, I hear you. You know, the New Covenant scripture that says this is the confidence we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know He hears us, we know that we have the petition that we have desired of Him. Praise God. This is a gracious God that we serve today. And He's a God who loves us by covenant. Amen. Psalm 34:15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. Eyes. God has eyes. That's an exclamation, not a question. These eyes are special. They don't just look at or observe. God's eyes are related to His heart. They seek the eyes of the... Oh, have you got on your shouting shoes today? Do you own a pair? Have you ever got so excited over the truth about God's love for you and God's provision for you and God's protection of you that you want to shout hallelujah to the Lord? That's what shouting shoes I'm talking about. When your heart overflows with the joy of your salvation, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Praise God. I want to make this statement so you can use your shouting shoes. God's eyes are related to His heart, dear friend. They seek, they find. Their gaze upon us means that we are not abandoned or forsaken. Hence the scripture in the Old Covenant, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward Him. Hallelujah. Listen, friend, in the darkest valley, when we cannot see God, be assured, He sees you. He therefore knows your circumstance. This true story I've told before, because it's a true story, I want to tell it again in relation to this fact today. One day a two-story house caught on fire. The family was making its way out of the house when the smallest boy became terrified, tore away from his mother, and ran back upstairs. Suddenly he appeared at a smoke-filled window, crying hysterically. Standing outside, the boy cried, and the father shouted rather, "Jump, son, jump, I will catch you." The boy's eyes filled with smoke and burning. He cried out, "But Daddy, I can't see you." "I know," the father called, "but I can see you. Jump, I'll catch you." And the boy, without seeing, by faith in his father's love and the truth, that truthfulness of his dad, he jumped, and his dad caught him in those powerful, loving, protecting arms and saved him from the flame. Friend of mine, when you can't see God by faith, be assured God sees you. Hallelujah. Someone said faith is not jumping to conclusions. It's concluding to jump. It's acting on the Word of God because it is the Word of God. And based on what we know of God, His eyes are on the righteous. His ears, therefore, are open to our cry. Listen to Psalm 66 and verse 20. It said, "Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me." Or as one translator writes, "Praise God, who did not ignore my prayer and did not withdraw His unfailing love for me." Praise God. Hallelujah. Dear friend of mine, I want you to know that God loves you today. And when you become His child, He said, "I will never." Jesus said it. One of the great, great promises of God to you, through Christ to you, "I will never, no, never, ever leave you. I'm not doing disservice to the word. I know he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But he said it in the actual Greek, in the emphatic. Hallelujah. I will never, no, never, ever, ever. You can start adding evers, not ever, ever, ever leave you nor forsake you. I will go with you all the way, even unto the end of the age. God's eyes are upon you because of His unfailing love for you. The God we serve listens to our prayers. Psalm 34:15 says His ears are open to their cry. And that's why the psalmist said in Psalm 116, this knowledge of what happens when he prays, when he's right with God. He said, I love the Lord because He heard my voice. And I love the Lord because, and my supplications, my voice and my requests. Verse 2 says, because He hath inclined His ear to me. Turned His ear, you see, to me. Therefore, this is an incentive for prayer. Therefore, I will call upon Him as long as I live. That's what it means to pray without ceasing. Pray because God is listening. Don't just wait to pray until you have a need to pray because of something so overwhelming only God could intervene. Pray constantly. Talk to God. Pray about everything the Scripture says, and don't worry about anything. Oh, friend, you say, where is that? Well, that's not the Scripture, but it is a scriptural, biblical statement. In all things, here's the Scripture, in all things with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God with thanksgiving. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart and your mind through Jesus Christ. Pray about everything and don't worry about anything. Amen. We must never neglect the power and privilege of prayer. Because He hath inclined His ear to me, literally bends down and listens when we pray. When we pray, it may seem that God is aloof in His heaven. That's wrong. He bends down and listens. It may seem like heaven is brass and our prayers don't get beyond the ceiling. That's wrong. God bends down and listens. Praise God. Knowing God is listening and that His eyes are upon us assures us that He will answer. Here's the Scripture that I quoted earlier. Listen to it carefully. 1 John 5:14-15 in the New Testament. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we've desired of Him. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you this true story once again because it's very relevant to answered prayer. It's an incentive. God wants to stimulate us to pray and trust Him consistently, never, never stopping, without ceasing to pray about everything so we don't have to worry about anything. I don't know about you, but I have a tendency to worry about a lot of things. Well, there's a lot of things to worry about, isn't there? All around us, all of these fearful things in these perilous times and in our personal life, crisis can arise. And we should be concerned. But worry means that we have neglected an antidote for that fear that causes the worry. And that is that we do not pray consistently and we do not pray in a way that we give that worry to God. Amen. And we make that exchange. We give this situation, we give this person, we give this circumstance, we give ourselves to God. And God gives us a peace in our heart and mind that keeps us from anxiety and fear and worry, the debilitating fear that stymies us and stops us in our forward momentum, in our joy, in our peace. Let me give you this testimony today. True story. A number of years ago, a Christian in Dallas, Texas, sold his business at a loss, went into vocational Christian work, and things got rather rough financially. There were four kids in the family. One night at family devotions, Timmy, the youngest boy, said, "Daddy, do you think Jesus would mind if I ask him for a shirt?" "Well, no, of course not. Let's write that down in our prayer request book." Not a bad idea, is it, to have a prayer request book? Prayers that are prayed and then prayers that were answered and how they were answered. Keeping a prayer journal, if you please. "Well, no, of course not. Let's write that down in our prayer request book." So Timmy's mom wrote down, "Shirt for Timmy." And she added, "That's what supplication means. Let's don't miss this. In all things with prayer and supplication." That means to be definite in your request. Not just vague, but if there's a problem, pray specifically for what is needed from God to answer that dilemma, that circumstance. Supplication with prayer and definite request. Let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, if you give it to Him and trust Him with it, the peace of God that passes all understanding. So she says, "Let's write that down in our prayer request book." So Timmy's mom wrote down, "Shirt for Timmy" on one side. And she added, "Size 7. Every day the mother received every day after that, Timmy saw to it that they prayed for the shirt. One Saturday, several weeks later, the mother received a telephone call from a clothing store in downtown Dallas, owned by a Christian businessman. "I just finished my July clearance sale, and knowing that you have four boys, it occurred to me that you could use something we have left. Could you use some boys' shirts?" Spoiler alert. Amen. Here we go. Listen. She said, "What size?" He said, "Size 7. "How many do you have?" she asked hesitantly. He said, 12. Listen, many of us might have taken the shirts, stuffed them in the bureau drawer, and made some casual comment to the child. Not this wild set of parents. That night, as expected, Timmy said, "Don't forget, Mommy, let's pray for the shirt." Mommy said, "We don't have to pray for the shirt, Timmy." "How come?" he asked. "The Lord has answered your prayer." "He has?" "Right. So as previously arranged, Brother Tommy goes out and gets one shirt, brings it in, and puts it down on the table. Little Timmy's eyes are like saucers. Tommy goes out and gets another shirt, brings it in, out, back, until he piles 12 shirts on the table. And Timmy thinks God has gone into the shirt business. But you know, there is now a little boy in Dallas, Texas, by the name of Timothy, who believes in the power of a persistent prayer to a loving God who has time for little boys. He bends down and listens when we pray. You know, I've been praying for a long time, and I've been receiving answers, and I've been receiving closed doors that say no to that particular thing, and obviously it wasn't in the will of God. But that doesn't keep me from praying and believing, because I'm mature enough in the Lord to know I don't need everything I think I need. I need what God knows I need, and my God will supply everything I truly need. according to His riches and glory in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So I've come to the maturity that when a prayer is unanswered, I know it's not the will of God. And if it isn't the will of God, there is a reason and a purpose. But I'm going to tell you something about God. He's El Shaddai, which means the many-breasted one, the more than enough one. I love that song that said our God is more than enough. He's El Shaddai. Hallelujah. And I say it a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but in spiritual and biblical reality, our God is not El Cheapo. He's El Shaddai. And I'm not talking about the wealth of the world. I'm talking about a God who the Scripture says of Him that He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think or ask. We got a little boy praying for a shirt. God gives him 12. We got a little boy giving him his poor boy's lunch, and God feeds thousands with it. We have a God who is more than enough. Thereby, if we pray and seek Him, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us that much. Praise God. Amen. Oh, listen to me today. God responds to our cry because we are right with Him. And He brings deliverance to us. Psalm 34:17-19 says, the righteous, once again, underscore, highlight the righteous people right with Him by coming to Him for salvation and then living for Him. And when we stumble, we get back up. And when we fail, we confess and we repent and we receive lavish grace and wonderful pardon and forgiveness. And we go again, forward, never looking back. Hallelujah. Look at Psalm 34:17-19. The righteous cry. His eyes are upon the righteous, you see. And the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. There's no partial deliverance. There's no weak God that only does a few little weak efforts to help us. There is a mighty God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think could have possibly imagine or ask. You can't ask too large, but you can ask too little to where God would not be glorified in the answer, even if He answered, because it would be written off to happenstance or luck or many other reasons. God wants to answer in such a way that it astonishes the persons that see Him moving in the life of a child of God who has this kind of childlike faith. Amen. Listen to it again. The righteous cry, the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh them that are of a broken heart, saveth such as of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. I didn't hear an amen. Being a right with God doesn't mean that the devil isn't going to attack you. It means you wear a target and he's going to persecute you because he persecuted Christ. That is a badge of authenticity. Don't sweat it. There's a shield of faith granted to us, given to us, and we're told to take it. And above all, take then the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to endure all of the fiery darts of the wicked, and they will be quenched by the shield of faith. And that faith is used mightily and peculiarly and particularly in the arena of prayer. Hallelujah. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. That's you, my dear friend. That's me today. Hallelujah. Because we have been given the gift of righteousness because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ at the cross. Our enemy knows that if we do not despair, our God will not fail to deliver us. And it's vital that we pray, even when we don't see any hope in the natural, that we still hold on to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I like one Christian lady as we close. I like her prayer. And listen to what she said about prayer. She said, "Lord, it doesn't matter how willing my spirit may be. My body is still a prisoner to the law of sin at work within me. I need your strength to overcome. Lord, let me not sleep when I'm in need of strength. Help me to have the desire in my heart to pray continually." Have you ever watched a bird sleeping on its perch, never falling off? This is a question I'm asking. The secret to this is tendons of the bird's legs. They're so constructed that when the leg is bent at the knee, the claws contract and grip like a steel trap. The claws refuse to let go until the knees are unbent again. The bended knee gives the bird the ability to hold on to his perch so tightly. From sleeping birds, we can learn the secret of hanging on to a life with God. The secret is the bent knee in prayer. It is only when we bend our knees, bow our hearts before God in prayer, that we can hang on to faith in Him. Hallelujah. Prayer is much more than just mixing faith with our request in order to get an answer. Prayer is an expression of our total dependence on the Lord for our very existence. Prayer is like oxygen. It is our life. It is our breath. Hallelujah. Prayer is making God our total source of supply and our greatest needs and our deepest desires. Praise God. Amen. I want to close with this. We just got a few minutes. Give me some grace for about 3 or 4 more minutes here. I love this great statement, "Pray anyway." Hallelujah. By Joe McKeever. When you don't know how to pray, don't know how to pray, pray anyway. Ignorance is no excuse. When you don't feel like praying, pray anyway. Depression is no excuse. When dullness sits on you like a vulture and you can't muster enough enthusiasm to change channels, much less pray, pray anyway. Pray why? God is listening. You can tap into the person and therefore the power of God. Boredom is no excuse. When you see no need to pray, no reason to intercede for those about you, recognize this as a sign of impending danger. Pray anyway. Blindness is no excuse. When you've grown spiritually lazy and feel like you'll never be able to pick up your Bible and read it the way you once did, especially pray anyway. Laziness is no excuse. When you don't understand what the big deal is about prayer and you think it's overrated because it never did you much good, pray anyway. Pray anyway. Because God is listening. All of that can change. Immaturity is no excuse. When you're too tired to remember your own name and you know God will understand if you don't pray, pray anyway. Fatigue is no excuse. When you're embarrassed to be back before God confessing the same sins and admitting the same failures, come on and pray anyway. Shame is no excuse. God is waiting for our repentance so He can grant us His restoration. When you've been unfaithful and you know it and you feel the burden of guilt that makes you want to run and hide under the porch, pray anyway. Sin is no excuse. Where sin doth abound, God's grace does much more abound. You can be forgiven. You can be restored if you repent of your sin. When the nagging voice of the enemy keeps telling you there is no God, and even if there were, He'd never have anything to do with a nothing like you, pray anyway. unbelief is no excuse not to use the power and privilege of prayer. We can bless ourselves immeasurably by rescuing our prayer life from bondage to our emotions and to our circumstances. There is no time and there are no conditions in which prayer is not necessary, not helpful, and not the right thing to do. So, dear friend of mine, pray anyway. Satan wants you to quit praying and give up, because when you give up on prayer, you're giving up on God. God wants you to keep praying and to get up. Praise God. Amen. And develop after you pray a spirit of holy expectation and anticipation of the answer. Scripture says in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 10, cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. When God is ready, in His way, His wisdom, His timing, God will answer. But He can't answer a prayer that is unprayed. Pray anyway today. Pray because God is listening. In fact, the Scripture said He inclines His ear to me. He bends down. And if He has to reach way down, God will lift you up today. Christian, you have a position with God that He has become your heavenly Father. Jesus said, heretofore, you've asked the Father nothing in my name. Ask that you might receive, that your joy may be full. For the Father Himself loveth you. Oh, friend, call upon Him. Once again, go into the closet Jesus taught, into that, not your physical, maybe it will be, closet in your home. Go into that place where you leave your cell phone outside. Leave your fear and your doubt and your unbelief outside. And leave every distraction outside. Enter into your closet and pray and talk to God. And the God who sees, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, in secret shall reward you openly with answered prayer, you see. Oh, friend, it's time to intercede so that God can intervene. Today, if you don't know Jesus, there's a prayer you can pray. It's called the Sinner's Prayer. It can be prayed in many different ways, but it's always a repentance of sin. It's always a recognition of our need for a Savior. It's always coming to Christ, confessing our sin, and receiving Him as our Lord and Savior. Pray to Him today. Come to Jesus. He's listening for your prayer.